Welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast with Delaine ND, the podcast for people looking to correct chronic illnesses such as diabetes through lifestyle change. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn. As a physician, I see many patients who are ill because of lifestyle decisions such as food choices. Typically, diseases such as diabetes are managed with pills or injections. This approach creates a vicious, expensive, and unhealthy cycle of medication and then more medication to address the negative side effects. As a physician and a life coach, I work with clients to resolve their diseases, get off their medications, and live a naturally healthy life. If you don't like the healthcare system in America, I recommend you use less of it by being naturally healthy. So if you feel there has to be a better, more natural way to live a healthy life, you are in the right place.
Hello, and welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life with Delaine MD podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Delaine Vaughn. Today, I'm coming to you from my COVID command post on my couch. I really don't have much to do with any of the operation really going on here in my hometown, but I am doing everything I can to stay up to date on the latest information coming out of places like the World Health Organization or WHO or the Center for Disease Control, CDC in Atlanta, Georgia. So for those of you who are listening to this in the week of March 23rd, 2020, it's kind of a scary time. Nobody really knows what to think. And I'm sure you probably have some heightened sense of anxiety going on, as most Americans do. For those of you who are listening to this from 2023 or 2021, I hope you're looking back on the COVID 2019-2020 outbreak with some nostalgia. But either way, it's kind of unprecedented times. What I am reading is somewhat concerning, so what I'm recommending to those I love, including you who might be listening to me right now, stay inside. Keep your hands clean. Don't touch your face. Practice social distancing. If we're all overreacting, that's awesome, because I'd rather overreact than have a situation like what Italy has. So that is my 10 cents for everybody. Today, I'm putting out this podcast for you guys because you know it's important to me to get this information out to everybody who listens, who might find this information helpful. So that's what I'm going to do for you today. This is going to be a brief podcast. I do want to make a note about last week's podcast. I made a podcast about calories and their role in living a naturally healthy life. I was dealing with a headache that day when I made that podcast. It was probably not my most amazing podcast. Why I'm telling you that today is because you probably ought to be aware that I'll be putting another podcast out in the near future about calories. I have some other podcasts that I want to get out for everybody before I move on to that, but there will probably be a repeat podcast about calories. I was not feeling very well. I did not have a cough. I did not have a fever. I was not sick with the COVID. I was just dealing with a headache that day for some reason. So that's where we're at. Let's get into today's information. So today I'm bringing you information about pattern behaviors, because a lot of what my clients come to me with is that they have these behaviors that they struggle to change. And we think that we just don't have any self-control or discipline or willpower. But what it really comes down to is this is neurochemistry, which is awesome news. You're a perfectly normal human being. We just got to work on some neurochemistry and techniques for changing what you've been doing. So what do I mean by a pattern behavior? A pattern behavior is something that our brain tries to do to conserve energy. So we pattern many of our daily behaviors, things that we do every day, things like brushing our teeth or driving to work or folding laundry or even doing the dishes. When we've done something many, many times, our brain wants to put it on autopilot so we can do it without thinking. Most grown adults don't have to mentally walk through each and every step of brushing our teeth or driving a car or doing the laundry or washing the dishes. We've done it so many times before that it's a totally patterned behavior. We don't need any mental effort to do it. However, when we're learning a new skill, like when we first learned to brush our teeth or drive a car, it took some time to commit that behavior to memory, and not just the mental memory, but also the motor memory, the muscle memory. Your muscles will remember the neural pathway that we used to do this. So an example of this muscle memory, if you were a high school or a collegiate athlete, but you haven't participated in your sport for many, many years, and then you go back to it, your body knows how to do the sport, even though you haven't done it in many, many years. Your body will tap into that muscle memory from the repetition of the behaviors so many years ago. Our brain does this with mental memory, and our brain does this with muscle memory. So why do our brains pattern these behaviors? Our pattern behavior is our brain's attempt to free up its energy or its effort or its time to focus on other things like problem solving. Our brains are naturally and primitively attracted to novel experiences. It's almost mesmerized by these new things. This is our brain's primitive wiring. Our brains are curious things. They like to indulge in these new and novel experiences. In order to have freed up our concentration for these new experiences, our brain tries to automate as many repetitive experiences as possible. So an example of what I mean, have you ever driven to your kid's school, even though your kids were on spring break? Your habit was driving to the school, dropping off the kids, and then going into the office. But even though your kids were on spring break, your brain, in its autopilot mode, started heading to the school because that's what your brain does. This is autopiloting, right? Most of us have had an experience like this. Our brains go on autopilot. They do what they've done frequently and over. If our brains spend as much time on things like brushing our teeth as adults as we did when we were 3 years old learning how to brush our teeth, or going through the motions of driving our car when we first learned how to drive our car, if we did that as an adult, we wouldn't have the concentration or the mental bandwidth or the brain energy to develop solutions to the problems that we face at work. When we're trying to solve a situation at work, we wouldn't have that mental bandwidth because we've spent it all doing these things that we've done over and over again. So once a pathway of neurons connect, and then we run that pathway over and over and over again, it strengthens that neural pathway, and that's when automaticity occurs. So our brains want to be on autopilot. It wants to automate as many things as possible in order to free up our concentration for these novel experiences or for problem solving. Some of these autopiloting experiences or behaviors serve us, but many of them do not. So where pattern behaviors tend to get us into trouble is when we have an automatable behavior and we combine it with a rewarding or pleasurable experience. Those behaviors will automate much more rapidly. This becomes a habit and it's strong, and the neural pathway builds quickly. So examples of these scenarios when it gets us into trouble is things like alcohol use or drug use, and of course, food. So let's talk about eating, where we see this. This is the most frequent example, of course. This is what I see my clients getting into trouble with. And sometimes it's just the eating of certain foods, but sometimes it's also a situation, environmental trigger for this. So where I hear this a lot from my clients is I was standing in the pantry, I was trying to decide what to make for dinner, and I looked down and half the bag of potato chips was gone. Or I had eaten an entire sleeve of Thin Mints, or an entire sleeve of Ritz crackers. All of these are due to pattern behaviors. So recognize not all pattern behaviors serve a bigger goal, right? Like brushing our teeth or folding socks or cleaning dishes or driving to work. Sometimes these pattern behaviors get combined with neurochemistry that makes our brain automate these very quickly. So you have a behavior, you combine it with a burst of carbohydrates that deliver a surge of dopamine into our brain, and you combine it with a frequently performed behavior and you get this neurochemical reward. Our brains absolutely love this. It loves this the most. This is why it seems like you go on autopilot when you're eating something that you really didn't intend to eat, because you do go on autopilot. Our brain wants to automate these behaviors. So other examples that clients will give me, they'll be at a restaurant and they will come to me and they'll say, but that's always my favorite dish at that restaurant. Or I'm out with my friends at a restaurant and this is what we always get together. Or I was at a restaurant and they served us a basket of bread and I just started eating it. I didn't even think about it. This is a pattern behavior. You get into a certain environment or you have a certain situation and your brain immediately starts to offer you your typical experience. Even when you might intellectually know that behavior will make you sick or the foods don't serve you, you will go on autopilot. This is just because this is how our brain has done it a million different times. Our brain knows the neural connection and it gets a reward from that neural connection. We also see this with other behaviors like smoking. So a lot of times smokers will tell me, well, I always have a cigarette with my first cup of coffee in the morning. Or I always smoke a cigarette when I get in the car to drive. Or I always smoke a cigarette after a meal, right? We have a behavior that we do all the time. And then we reinforce that behavior with neurochemistry that makes us feel great. I saw this with alcohol, right? Not because I was a heavy drinker, but because I like to watch sports. I like to watch basketball and I like to watch football. I don't believe in professional basketball, only college basketball, because I am a Kansas kid. I'm a KU graduate. And so KU football is not that great, but KU basketball is amazing. So I don't believe in college football, but I do believe in college basketball. And because KU doesn't have, and my other college team is Wichita State, they do not have great football. Like Wichita State doesn't even have a football program. KU doesn't have a great football program historically, but professional football, I totally am into. So I grew up in Chicago, so I'm a huge Bears fan. I'm a Kansas kid. I moved here when I was 9 or 10. And we have, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, who were Super Bowl championship this year. So I love professional football. So those are the things. I love to watch those two sports. It's amazing. But what I ended up connecting and making it an automatic behavior was when I watch sports, I tend to also drink beer. The more I've done research on alcohol and how it affects our bodies, the more I've realized when I drink beer late in the day, I do not get great sleep. And I totally associate this to the beer that I'm consuming, the alcohol I'm consuming. So intellectually, I know I don't want to drink alcohol late into the day. But when I was watching the Kansas City Chiefs play in the Super Bowl, it was late in the day and my brain was completely offering me beer. This is that neural pathway, right? I know I have this experience. I typically do this with alcohol and my brain automatically wants to connect those two because I get a neurochemical release of dopamine when I drink the alcohol. So this is what I'm talking about when I talk about a behavior plus the neurochemistry leads to strong drives to perform those behaviors together and kind of this quicker automatization of that behavior. So learning how to break these patterns is really important. And this is what I work with my clients on. So the first step to change is always awareness of being aware of what you're doing. Many times we want to judge this action or experience. Oh, look at me. I'm eating these stupid cookies again. I'm so awful. I have no self-control. I'm never going to get this figured out. These are stories we tell ourselves, thoughts that go through our head. So the path to change actually looks like being aware, accepting what you're doing, having some neutral acceptance of what you're doing, and then you get to change. Frequently, we totally want to skip over the acceptance step and jump right to the change. But here's the deal. Likely, you're performing this behavior for a reason. You've had a rough day at work and you want a little release and you know what will provide that release every single time without fail. Cookies. Cookies will give you that release every single time without fail and you get to feel better. Your brain is not bad. It's not weak. It's just that you want to feel better. Your brain wants to feel better. You can't blame your brain for that. Of course it wants to feel better. When we judge the behaviors and label them as bad, this creates friction for our brain. Our brain knows that there's a part of ourself that the cookies are helping. When we call that bad, our brain automatically jumps to go into defense of this and build evidence for why the behavior that it's doing automatically is good. So think about this. If you ever did this when you were a kid, or if you've raised teenagers and say they're early teenagers and they're trying to do something nice for you, like maybe they're trying to make breakfast for you. In the course of making breakfast for you, they ruined a frying pan because either they didn't realize that they had to use oil in the frying pan, so they burnt a bunch of food to the frying pan, or they used oil in a pan that shouldn't use oil and they ruined the pan that way. They were really just trying to help you out. But when you go to try to tell them, look at what you did here, you ruined the pan, or you tried to show them where they went wrong, even when you do it innocently, frequently the young teen will get very defensive about this. And then they won't want to do anything nice for you anymore. They're not trying to be bad. They weren't trying to be bad when they were trying to make you breakfast. They were just trying to do something nice and help you out. You need to recognize that behavior in your primitive brain, in your brain for what it is. Your brain wasn't trying to do anything bad. It was just trying to help you out. Recognizing that the current behaviors are just trying to help you in some way, and then you can neutrally acknowledge them, accept them, and then it's easier to release that behavior. Hell, you can thank them for the behavior. Thank the behavior for the service, and then relieve them from their duty. You've got it from here on out. This is how you want to approach that acceptance step. Frequently, we want to jump from awareness to change, but you have to have that neutral acceptance of what you are doing. That's the quickest way to actually get to the change without having the friction or the defense of the behavior that wasn't serving you. Once you learn to neutrally accept the habit that you've become aware of, then it's time for the change. This acceptance part can be challenging. That's what we do in coaching. But what it looks like is that you intentionally then create a new habit that has similar qualities of the old habit. It needs to be something that you can repeat, that's repetitive. And if you can tie a little reward, it will be easier to have that new habit take hold more quickly. So once you've developed a new habit, then you want to work on mastery of that habit. This starts with redefining. Where this should start is redefining your identity, redefining who you are and who you want to become, and then start producing evidence that you are that person. So this is where thought work comes in. Some examples of the thoughts that might help are things like, I am the kind of person that does not feed my body food that makes me sick, or I am the kind of person who always eats what I've planned to eat and only what I've planned to eat. I am not the kind of person that eats at McDonald's. Pick some other restaurant if that's what you struggle with. Or a thought like, I'm the kind of person that feeds myself fuel for my body, not poison for my body. Or I'm the kind of person that exercises 5 days a week. Or I'm the kind of person who gets adequate sleep so that my blood sugars can normalize. Or I'm the kind of person who always eats in a controlled fashion. Figure out what thought drives your new identity, who you want to be. Find the thought that motivates you to be that person. Then you want to build evidence that you are that person. Once you've defined who this person is, you want to start building evidence that you are truly that person. So start looking at each action that you're doing during the day as an opportunity to cast a vote for this new version of you. It won't feel natural at first, but that's okay. You are working on building evidence that you are that person. And feeling natural, that will come with time. So what that looks like. You may have to develop some new systems to implement in order for you to become that person. So what am I talking about? The kind of person who does not feed their body food that makes them sick is the kind of person who looks at the content and the quality, maybe looking at the macronutrients of each food that you put inside your body. The kind of person who eats on plan, always and only on plan, is also the kind of person who always makes a plan. So that takes some process before. The day before you're making a plan because you're the kind of person who always eats on plan. Someone who never eats at McDonald's may be the kind of person who never enters a McDonald's drive-thru, not even for a drink. Or maybe that person stops taking the route home from work that goes by 3 different McDonald's. The kind of person who only feeds their body fuel is also the kind of person that does not buy poison at the store for their bodies because they know they don't eat that kind of stuff. The kind of person who exercises 5 times a week is also the kind of person that looks at their schedule on Sunday and determines which days they're going to be able to work out so that they can get those 5 exercising sessions in each week. The person who gets adequate sleep so that their blood sugars can normalize is also the person who gets home early enough in the evening so that they can get to bed early. These are all systems that may need to be implemented to adjust your life and develop these new habits. So recognize at first you want to start building evidence that this is who you are, even when it's hard and even when it's awkward, even when it's not easy. The important part is that you're building evidence. Some people track this evidence and focus on not missing a day, like never breaking the chain. I've done it for the last 12 days and I don't want today to be the day that I mess it up. Frequently, this is one of the quickest ways to develop a new habit, to get that new behavior to stick. Some people couple the reward, like we talked about, coupling their new habit with a reward. Sometimes this can be really small. This doesn't have to be anything huge. You don't have to go on a shopping spree every single day. Sometimes it's something like downloading a new song on iTunes that you really like. Or maybe it's a bubble bath. Or maybe it's relaxing for 10 or 15 minutes in the afternoon or evening, listening to music that you enjoy. Whatever it might be for you, try to find something that is pleasurable that you can couple to this new habit. Those habits are going to stick quicker by doing that coupling mechanism or method. So this is the stuff we work on in coaching because it's hard. Cut yourself some slack. This does not come easy. Be patient with yourself. If you need some help, if you're interested in what coaching has to offer, send an email to delaine@delainemd.com. Let's set up a consult and see where we can help you with this. So until next week, guys, I want you to stay safe. I want you to wash your hands. I want you to stop touching your face, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Also, leave me a review. If you want to resolve your diabetes naturally without any pills or injections, I can help you. Visit DelaineMD.com for more information. Click on the Work With Me tab, send me a message, and we can set up a mini coaching session. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.